Hi, everyone. Now, it's not often you meet someone that you think genuinely is a Renaissance woman or man for that matter. But in this week's podcast, I had the absolute pleasure of meeting someone who is clearly genuinely a Renaissance woman. She does everything. She's into politics. She's an engineer. She's a dancer. She's a singer. She's a presenter. She's been in a beauty pageant. And she does it all with this clear sense of purpose, joy, adventure, and she's not afraid to lose. She's not afraid to fail. And this is the pure example of living life unleashed and living life with purpose, as she calls it. So this week's podcast, it was such an amazing pleasure to have Aya Shokale on the show. I met her and I was blown away, and I knew she was someone I had to have on the podcast. So I'm not going to go into it. It was an amazing podcast. We spoke about so many things, and sometimes we even geeked out talking about books we both read and we enjoyed. I am sure it's going to be an amazing session, a session you're going to love and enjoy. And do enjoy it. Leave us some feedback and dive in. And you want to listen all the way to the end. Captivating, full of laughs, full of insights, and truly impressive. Enjoy this week's podcast. Welcome to the You Unleashed podcast with Femi Akinyemi, the podcast where we're all about bringing stories and people who are living life unleashed, where we can all learn from tools, skills, tips, experiences that we can all bring to our own lives and use going forward. You know what I usually say, and I keep saying this over and over again. I know I sound like a broken record. Done is better than perfect. If you're going to do anything, just start, get to it, and you'll be amazed how much progress you make and how well you get on. So with that said, I am super excited. We've not had a guest for quite a while, taking a break from having guests. But then I was at a Christmas party not long ago, and we had a guest speaker, and her energy, her mindset, her vision, her passion, her energy just blew me away. And I said, if I'm going to get back to interviewing guests for the podcast, I absolutely have to have this person. So it gives me great pleasure and honor to welcome Aya Shokale onto the podcast. Aya, welcome.
Thank you very much, Femi. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. So before you go, before I dive in, I've missed a step I usually should do, and that is to introduce you, because I'm not going to let that go. So who is Aya Shokale? Before you go into your Googles and start digging up, I will give you the 411, the scoop. So her motto is living life with purpose. Well, something we all aspire to. But she also is a chartered civil engineer. She's a presenter and keynote speaker. She's an ICE President's Future Leader 2018. She's an ICE superhero, an eco warrior, formerly known as Eco Angels. And she's a former beauty queen. And I left this for last. She's a councillor and deputy mayor of Reading, a town where I live, actually. So Aya, if I see anything going wrong, I'm coming for you, because I've got the connections now. But on top of that, actually, she's done so many amazing things. She's been a presenter. I found some videos, clips of you presenting on BBC. So you're clearly a person with drive, ambition, and who is not afraid to try and to fail and do all kinds of things. So thank you so much for coming to the show. It's a massive pleasure and honor to have you. Thank you for taking the time out.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for the lovely introduction. It's always nice to reflect on what you've been up to.
I know it is nice, isn't it? When sometimes as people, one of the things mistakes we make, and I do a lot of coaching, I know you do, and we'll talk about that a bit. But one of the mistakes we all make as people is, it is so easy to overestimate others and underestimate yourself. It's so easy to forget the things you have done, and people reading it out, or you having this website, or just reflecting. It's such a massive thing, isn't it? So it is important to kind of reflect on the things you've done. I don't know, is that something you have time to do as someone who is obviously has a clear vision and goal?
Well, with a clear vision and goal, you have to come back and refresh, make sure that your goals still reflect who you're becoming, because each day you're becoming slightly different. You gain new perspectives, you have new experiences, you expand into something new. So obviously, as time passes, even quarterly or however often you want to do this, you might find that you need to recalibrate, you know, find your new North Star. So I do that very often, and that acquires, you know, that acquires the ability to kind of think about what you've achieved, what you want to achieve, what you like to do, where you want to go, and then carry on making habits that reflect where you're going to next. So yeah, I do take the time to do that. I think it's very important.
Yeah, it is. And that's the one thing I tell people is that when you have your goals, you have to look at them consistently to remind you. Because another thing you can always ask yourself is, do I really want to achieve this goal? Because sometimes your goals, you put them down and they're not necessarily, they're something you wanted at the time. But we all grow, we all evolve. And then time goes on and you ask yourself, actually, why am I doing this? Am I doing this just because, or is there a real reason behind it? I don't know. Is that something you find sometimes? Or are you one of those, what's on paper, it's got to get done?
Oh, I used to be like that kind of person. If I write something, I have to do it. If I have an order of what I'm doing that day, I'm doing it that day, regardless of what opportunities come, what naturally organic flows, and what energy levels I have, like going with what's actually happening. So obviously that means you miss out on so much. But what I've learned over time is actually this thing. It isn't just having the why and the goals and the thing that you're working towards. It's knowing why you want what you want. So why do you want that? What need does that meet in you? Because we don't want things for any random reason. We have fundamental, drivers. So you never want to take yourself away from a desire. Like you have a desire for a reason, but you have to understand why that desire is there. So for example, if it's, I don't know, you want to be top of your career. So what does that mean? Is it status? Is it prestige? Is it coming from some childhood wound or being bullied? Like, what are you trying to prove? Like, is it the external validation or is it the internal journey of being? Are you the kind of person who loves to do that kind of work, who in working for long hours, undisturbed, finds their peace and is in flow? Because if it is, then that is for you, because you actually like the process as well as the outcome. So I think that's the key thing people always have to ask themselves. Why do I want what I want? What's the underlying motivation? What is the need and the deficit that I need to expand? I'm trying to fill by wanting that desire. And ultimately, do I enjoy the process that I need to go on to have that desire? And that's when you have those two things, it's much easier.
There's so much in what you've just said. And because I think the first part I love is the why behind the why. Mm. And it kind of gets me, if I wear my coach slash pop psychologist hat, that's kind of the Maslow's pyramid of needs, where all of us at different stages in our lives have different needs. So the base one for everyone is shelter and food.
Yeah.
We all do what we do primarily to earn a living, to be able to have shelter and food, because that is a primal base need for all of us.
Yes.
Then as you get older, as you start to achieve, you get to the point where it then becomes about fulfillment. It becomes about recognition, because that's why you get some people who get to a certain point in their careers and they go, actually, it's not about salary anymore. It's about recognition that I'm doing a good job. It's being about being appreciated. And that will manifest itself in the why you do things. But a lot of people don't realize, actually, the reason why you're doing this is because actually the reason why you're upset because someone didn't recognize you is because you're looking for recognition. But people don't realize it. So it's kind of that thing. So I love the why behind the why. But the other thing I absolutely love about what you said was the process. And I think there's this saying, right? I think Brian Tracy, I listen to, where he always says, success is its own reward, because it's kind of the thing where it's kind of saying the success is the thing, but the person you become in achieving your goals, that is the real thing. And that comes from the process. In achieving your goals, you have to become more disciplined, more focused, better at prioritizing, managing relationships. So once you become that person, you can swap the goals. You can achieve different things because you have the characteristics of someone who is trying to be successful. So I love that. I love that. And I love that process you have going on behind you. So, but I don't want to talk about that too much. I do want to come back to you, because if you get me to talk about this stuff, I will talk about it all day. So love it. So some of the things you talk about on your website that you love doing: dancing, singing, acting, presenting, working with children, supporting charities, fundraising, modeling, fitness, and biohacking, fashion, traveling, and food. I had to speed up.
Yeah.
I'm also interested in psychology, philosophy, sustainability, esoteric literature, knowledge, and on and on.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that strikes me about you is, and I think a lot of our listeners will hear this and think, oh, she must be you have to be an extrovert. You're an extrovert. Do you see yourself as an extrovert, actually?
I'm a bit of both. I won't say I'm a straight up extrovert because I do adore time by myself. And when I'm by myself, I could never ever imagine wanting to be with other people. And when I'm with other people, I could never imagine wanting to be by myself. And I think the primal thing that actually works for me is that when I'm with people, I want to be with them. I'm present with them. And when I'm by myself, I'm, you know, giving myself the energy I require, I'm rebalancing, I'm recharging. So I think the thing is, I don't desire the other when I'm not with it, and I enjoy where I am. And I think it's about that presence. I think often when we're with people, we think about the work we should be doing, the other things that we have to do. And when we're working, we want to be out playing. So I think it's about actually, first of all, getting to the heart of like where you are, just loving it, maximizing it, optimizing it. And I say this a lot when I speak to people, you know, maximize where you are. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're an expert and introvert. Just if you are with people, how do you have the best interaction you can have? How do you learn about people? How do you grow? How do you enjoy it the most? So what do you require to go into that situation and enjoy it and maximize where you are? Then do that in the way that's, you know, consistent with your character, your values, because you need to know what that is. And then when you're with yourself, what do you need to do to maximize that time for yourself? Like for me, it's reading books I love that I may never even share with people because I read the most random literature. And I just, for the pleasure of the knowledge that I want to acquire, and that is just the way I recharge. So when I'm there, I enjoy it. I don't try and have anything else but in that moment. I think, how do I optimize this time together with myself? Because together with yourself is really important. Like, you know, I'm together with myself. So I think this is really critical. But I think what underpins it as well is actually I'm not that attached to the labels. For example, we're so defined by labels, and they're useful to some degree. You know, Myers-Briggs, 7 Strengths, I use all these in my modalities when I speak and I work with people because they're good tools to have opening dialogues. But I think we're so attached to what we are, and we don't allow ourselves to be what we want to be in the time. Because with some people, you know, I don't speak very much. I'll let them speak because that's what that situation requires. And there's some places where I am the star of the show. Like, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. I'm on the stage performing, and that's in me and my element because that's what the time requires. So I think it's not being so attached to anything. And when you're in a place, being present and allowing yourself to be what's required and optimized to have the most enjoyable experience for yourself and the people you're with at the time.
Fantastic. So what I'm hearing from you really is number one is being self-aware.
Yes.
It's being aware of who you are and then taking that who you are. And once you're aware of who you are, it's also being self-aware of what the situation you're in needs for the moment. Mm-hmm. So if you're you might be an extrovert or introvert, call it what you want. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we need to be able to be both when the situation arises. But the other thing I love is that you need to learn to be together with yourself. You need to learn to enjoy your own company, because if you don't enjoy your own company, then what you'll find is that will manifest itself in the way you react, you engage with other people. Because enjoying your own company means you're self-confident, you're self-reliant, you're self-controlled, and it means you are content in who you are.
You're an integer. I love numbers. So you're a whole thing. You don't need to be divisible by anything else. You're a whole. But then what you can be is interdependent, because we're systems. I love systems of system thinking. Jim Hall from Oxford University champions this thinking in engineering. But I think you can think engineering and science and to your normal life. Well,
you are an engineer.
As humans.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, we're interdependent. What I do affects somewhere in your ecosystem. Like, I'm a counselor, I make legislation that affects your life in some way. Like, we all have different influences, and we're changing our chain, this interdependent world we live in. But you want to be whole and be just like self-sufficient, like your whole system. You feed yourself, you clothe yourself, you know, that kind of like wholeness, but then ability to then interact in the systems that you need to be part of and think about how you positively interact with them. Because obviously we all have the ability to have positive impact and less than positive impact.
So I like that. Because I'm learning from this as well. And that's why I love this podcast. One of the things I love about the podcast, I do it myself, it's a chance for me to get some free coaching and free learning from people. Because I think it's amazing. But I think on a more serious note, what you've just said is you've got to see yourself as a whole, as a part of a system. But by yourself, as a whole, you are that item by itself has enormous value by itself. But it also, it's part of a bigger system.
Yes.
And we're all the better for it when you interact well with the bigger system, and you understand the impact of your actions, your activities, your mood, the way you feel, the things you say.
Exactly.
You're putting stuff out into the atmosphere. You're putting stuff out into the energy.
Absolutely understand.
And you've got you have to understand that. And then once you do that, it's back to this. If you're a fake person, it's love each other as you love yourself. It's starting to realize your actions have an impact on others. So if you love yourself, then you have good impact on others, and then it's a beautiful place. But I also love what you said about, I call it bloom where you're planted, but you said something about wherever you are, you maximize
where you are. That's how I say it in my presentations.
Where you are. And I love it because I was at this conference once and I met this the former CEO of Avon, and she said, you bloom where you're planted. And I took that away from it. It's one thing I always tell people when I'm coaching them. So it's the same as maximize where you are. The key message is where you are today. We don't know tomorrow, but where you are today, and this is all you have. So embrace, don't see it as an obligation. See it as an opportunity to be whatever you want to be in that moment. Great. So before we pivot, quick question though. You said you love books. If you had to recommend one book to the audience that you want to say, and it doesn't matter if it's weird or it's quirky, it works for you, and obviously we want to learn, what is one book you would gift anyone?
Gosh. The book that I was gifted on my 19th birthday, my best friend, I felt like it was the most pivotal. I felt like I needed that knowledge at the time. And I always feel like knowledge I need at the time I need it always finds me. Because I'm always remarking about how I learn what I need for the new chapter I embark on just before I embark on it. And the book I got gifted for my 19th birthday by my very best friend was Malcolm Gladwell, David and Goliath. And what I won't spoil this book for you. Have you read it? I think you read it. You love it.
It is one of my, it is one of my favorite books of all time.
Oh my God.
Go on, talk about it. I'll compliment you. Go on. So what, tell me why you like it so much.
Well, I love it for a number of reasons, but I'll talk about a few of the multitude reasons. Like, this book is groundbreaking because I think it changes our perspective about privilege. I think we talk about privilege more now in our society than we did when I was 19. But at the time, I think we have the sense of like, that's just like, things, some things are inevitable. Some people are prone to success. Some people aren't. And you actually start to see the benefit of what makes you different and actually the benefit of your individuality. For me at the time, I was just like, you know, embarking on a world where I was this massive go-getter, slightly different, didn't want the same things as other people, didn't want to spend my time the same way as other people did, and being okay with it myself, but then realizing that, you know, how do I make this work? How do I be who I am? And then I realized that there's a benefit of being what you are, and even what seems like a deficit is a good thing. And that really spoke to me, because obviously in terms of like being neurodiverse and having, you know, like autism and some of these things that make me different in the way I view the world, it started to help me think of them as something that actually make me better and actually mend the instead of like, how do I become more like someone else? How do I utilize what I am even more? How do I utilize the advantage in what seems like a disadvantage? And actually, now I don't even think about it as a disadvantage at all, because I think, I mean, I'm so focused because of it. I am who I am because of all those things that you might deem deficits. And reading that book and changing my mindset from one where maybe more privately I was quite hard on myself, I was like, actually, I'm awesome. And changing that perspective changes the way you interact in the world. You start thinking about yourself as whole, healthy. You show up differently, different energy. You have different interactions. Because you said earlier that, you know, the past doesn't matter. What the future is unknown and you're only here. But actually, you're always creating where you are based on the energy you show up. If I showed up low vibe, slouching, being a grumpy person, we'd have a different interaction.
Yeah.
Right? So I was creating. I'm creating this. We're in a script. Yeah. We just don't know that we're in a script. But you're reacting to what I'm giving you and you're giving me back, and I'm reacting the way I want
to. It's all vibing off each other, and we're creating.
Yeah, we create more of what we want. we both want to have a positive interaction. So I'm going into it to have a positive interaction, and so are you. So by actually having that different mindset, I was like, I've got something that makes me different. I'm going to go into it with the attitude that this is a brilliant thing, which is what Malcolm Gladwell tells you. Like, yeah, you know, David was always set up to win, which blows my mind. It blows anyone's mind when you first read it. When you realize Goliath actually being a giant at that time would have meant he had sight visions. He'd had to be led into battle because, you know, he couldn't see. But you wouldn't notice that. You wouldn't think that because you think he's better than you. But he wasn't. He was actually set against you. And he could only win in one type of battle. But, you know, we know they did tests. He speaks about it in the book, you know, like the slings, they move at such ferocious speed that, you know,
like bullets. They were literally like bullets.
Bullets. Like, it could kill mountain lions. It would kill animals to protect their sheep and all their flock. So, like, David always had advantages. But sometimes in society and in life, we have an idea of what success looks like, what a successful person has to be like, the archetype of what we want to be. We never really understand who we are and how to make that work. So it isn't just maximizing where you are, it's maximizing who you are and what you are and what you've been given. Because, like, we've got something all inside of us. It's like, are you going to use it, or are you going to try and be like a second-rate version of someone else? Yeah, I love that book, and I could talk about it for hours. And
we could talk about for hours. I know, because I mean, the thing about that book that blew my mind is, and there's so many amazing examples. I am going to do, because of this, I'm going to do a session where I talk about that book. Podcast listeners, I'm going to do a session about it. I'm going to break it down. If I have to get you here, I will. The part I love about that book,
that I will make time for.
Fabulous. I've got my hook. So the part I loved about that book was where he was giving the example of, there was this lovely lady who, she had always done well in school. She was a straight A student, and she thought, and she always wanted to be a STEM student. And then she
offered, Maryland versus Harvard University.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Then she got offers to universities. She got Browns and she got Ivy League schools. And then she got some other university, which wasn't Ivy League. But she thought because she was clever, she had to go to an Ivy League school. An Ivy League school is literally Harvard, Yale, Princeton. Yeah. They're the top schools. So she went to that school. Now, what you don't realize is when you go to those top schools, the students you are meeting there are the best of the best as well. So what happened to that girl very quickly was, from being a student who was passionate about studying STEM, she started to realize she was struggling in school. She lost confidence and ended up moving to law. No shade against law. She moved to law, something like that. And what it turns out was, and I love this reason, is number one, it was self-awareness. You forget that because you're in Harvard or Princeton, you are actually in the top percentile of most intelligent students in the country.
Yeah.
But you start to compare yourself with people you are around, and you forget that you're still very, very good.
She lost confidence. Of course.
Exactly.
And he said, second, I think if you went to Maryland, she would have done better. And more
she'd have done better. Yes, because she would have kept her confidence. She would have done well. But she went there. And the other thing is, students in those schools, the really top of the top in those schools, they see people who are not as good as them as people they can prey on, dominate to improve their own confidence. So she lost confidence and she went to the school. Now, what really capped this off, and I'm conscious of my time, but what really capped this off for me was, they did a research on, I think, let's just say the magazine is called The Economist, the equivalent. Yeah. And they found that typically if you publish three or more articles in that magazine, you're usually very, very clever and you're accomplished. If you publish two or more, then it's okay. What they found is people who published three or more articles were the top students from Harvard, Oxford, and everything. But interestingly, you would think the people who published two or more articles were from that school as well. It's not true. People who published two or more articles were from the more quote unquote common universities and they were doing really well in their career. Yeah. So the lesson is, if you go to Harvard and Princeton, typically, or those kind of schools, it's the best of the best that end up doing really well. But what you find is you can go to a lesser known university, do really well, and have an amazing career. Yeah. So number one, don't think going to Ivy League or all these top schools is a secret to success. Number two, don't compare yourself to others. And number three, you can make it anywhere.
Absolutely.
We could talk about this.
And so I don't want to get... point, there's actually a benefit of going to a lesser-known school, because when you're working in a lesser-known school, you are only focused on just enjoying the subject a bit more rather than the competition. And
yes,
you're slightly bigger fish in a bit smaller pond. So your confidence is intact, which you mentioned. But the critical thing is you have more bandwidth, instead of comparing yourself, to explore other things. And half the things, like, you know, you've mentioned in my career and things I've been up to, are because I have that bandwidth to explore things. And you have to give yourself that opportunity for new adventures, for successful experience, and for expansion and growth. Because you don't know what you're going to get at yet till you've actually tried a plethora of things. And the more narrow your life is because you are literally fighting tooth and nail to just stay in a realm, then actually the less likely you are to find the thing that you love. And also it might be your zenith potential, like the thing that harnesses the very best of the skills that you have.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's right. And that is with you. So
yeah,
we'll do a separate session about the book.
Yes,
back to you.
Okay.
So you've, when I introduced you, there was so much in there. Where did this come from? Have you always been this kind of focus driven person who understood as much as you can what it takes to unlock your passions and abilities and goals? Were you always like this? So when was that point where you kind of broke through, and what kind of, did you have these goals when you were younger? How did you get to this point where you do all these things?
It's an interesting question. I'll answer in two ways. So one is that in some ways, like, how I am what I am. And in fact, I think some of my personality traits I've exhibited from when I was really quite young. So precocious, chatting to grown-ups. I actually mostly have friends who are like 60 and above. That is the age group I tend to gravitate to. And I'm saying when I was like 7 years old, my mum was telling me over the weekend on the phone that I used to invite grown-ups to our house on Sunday, because on Sunday my mum would cook pandan yam. And I'd be like, my mum is cooking, come round. And I'd like make friends with these grown-ups, because I used to like having these intellectual sparring matches. But so in some ways I was quite shy, but in some ways I was like, clearly it didn't like have any sense of like boundaries when it came to the expansion and growth of my mind. And we're talking like I was 7 years old at this point, probably. So I think in some ways some things are what I'm meant to be like. But I've shown up by creating habits and systems that facilitated me becoming the thing that I had potential to become. Because I think when we're all children or younger, we all have potential, but it's our job to harness it and make it something.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I was like, oh, she has the potential to be bright. Oh, she's potential to be successful. But unless I don't do anything, I didn't do anything about it. I'd just be potential. And we'll be, you know, some person will be saying, oh, she had so much potential. But like, you have to realize.
Yeah, you have to realize. I mean, there's this football manager, Sir Alex Ferguson, who's retired. Mm. And he used to say the most dangerous word in the world is potential. Because it is a trap. You can say, you can keep saying someone has potential till they waste it and nothing ever happens. But back to you. So you've always, that's nature. So
that's one half of the answer. But the other half of the answer goes into what you're saying about potential. A little bit, maybe. But it's, okay, we all have potential, but also have, some people also have challenges. Like I love Malcolm Gladwell, because he talks about how we're not born equal. For example, some people are born with learning difficulties. Some people are born with less limbs, and it doesn't mean that they're less than, because we all as humans are equal and they have inherent worth, but we're not born with the same equal ability to achieve what we want. It's like, but I think I see that now as having the pain built in, having the challenge built in. And one of the things that they talk about is, you know, the challenge of, you almost have to deprive, like if you are a really successful person, you created success and an empire and a business, and you're economically successful, socially successful, in terms of the top of the hierarchies, whatever, successful in all the ways that we might deem success. You would struggle to have children who would then be successful, because it's called the challenge of having the deprivation. It means that children have to be deprived of something to get the get up and go. So in some ways, I always thought having so many challenges built into me and how I was made meant actually I had a lot to overcome to realize my potential. And if you want to use Malcolm Gladwell's theology, the school of thought I'm talking about, like it's a Bible, but you know what I mean? That kind of more modality of thinking is, you know, the challenges you overcome make you become who you are. They help you take the potential and make it a virtue as a real thing, tangible in this world that we live in. So in terms of things, it was half being who I was, but the other half of me was actually, okay, I didn't know I was dyslexic for years. I just knew I had to work harder. So every summer I would read the syllabus before I went to school. So I went to school and just revised in class or read fiction because I'd already learned everything. So that was a challenge built in, which then gave me this ability to, I literally know I can work harder than anyone else. And people say that all the time. But then till I lived with my best friend, he's like, I don't know anyone who works 16-hour days. And like, that's just standard. I could do that. And because I had to start doing that at that age, knowing, okay, my sisters don't have these challenges. Everyone else around me is finding this easy. But I know that I have this drive to succeed. I have a why. My why is I'm going to be an engineer. It's going to be my first tool to make the world a better place. But actually, I need to do something to realize the potential to become that. So I need to work harder because I don't have the support to, you know, get through this. So I'm going to become something that I want to by doing the work, working harder, creating habits. And now I read all the time. I probably read 4 books a week sometimes on a good week. And it, like I do the work, but those are now habits that were created from the challenge that was built in. And sometimes when we're looking, people want to help them. We want to take away some of their challenges. Like if you're the successful parent, actually your children are going to struggle to be successful because you need the challenges built in. So I've never really given that second answer before, but I felt like it was more authentic and true because I'm not here because I have all this potential and I'm just like this bright, bubbly person. I'm here because I have some challenges built in and I overcame that challenge. And through that journey, like you say, the journey makes you who you become. Then I become this person that we talk about today.
Yeah, and that's
my
answer. it's a good answer, and it's a true answer. It's probably an answer that makes a lot of sense because the first part is your nature. You were always vivacious, driven, talking to people. Yeah, but in trying to get to where you wanted to, the dyslexia you've spoken about became a barrier, but you harnessed that drive and said this dyslexia is not what's going to stop me from being who I want to be or what I want to achieve. And that conditioned you to become this who can work like a Trojan and just work nonstop. And that allows you, because I look at a lot of things you've done and it's something I'm learning. A lot of it is just plain being bold, being brave and hard work. Hard work. And for a lot of people, I'm beginning to find more and more, actually, it's not that we don't want to do these things. A lot of us are afraid of the change it would need to bring in our lifestyles and who we need to be because we're so comfortable. So that work that you're doing, it's conditioned, it's wired into you now. So anything in your way is just, I'm going to bulldoze that down. It doesn't, and that's amazing. So I guess the question then
is, that's the one thing I will say. Like, you know, I read about Stoic philosophy when I was a grown-up, but actually I practiced it my whole life. I was reading the Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, and I was like, wait, this is wisdom I already knew as a kid. And I think
that Divine Holiday one?
No. The Meditations, actually, the original version.
Okay.
Divine Holiday, that was fantastic, actually. I came to it much later. You know, Marcus Aurelius wrote the Meditations, which is his diary and his journals of how, you know, he dealt with a father, like not having a father, not having someone to signpost him, losing his mother, losing, you know, his wife, losing his children and the pain, and how, you know, using that, transmuting pain to something useful and creating virtues and, you know, ideas of what you want to achieve and then going for it. So, yeah, I mean, Ryan Holder does make it a little more accessible, but I think I was 18 when I first read Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. I thought it was great, but I was like, some things we know. I think we know what we have to do even before we read the books. Like sometimes we read these books by Great Ben and we're like, actually, this isn't a new idea. Because I don't think there are many new ideas around. They're recycled.
Nothing new under the sun. Yeah. It's perspective.
And we know
it's usually a different perspective. Yeah.
And I think some of us, like a lot of people know these things. They know what they have to do if they want to be what they say they want to be. But the question is, are you willing to pay the price? Because everything costs something, right? You know? And it's not like, I'm not talking about sacrifice and onerous, because I think, you know, it's problematic and we need a long time to disembark on the idea that everything has to be suffering. There's challenge, you can make it suffering, but you can, anyway, so we won't go into that.
That's context and perspective. And that brings it back to and the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but
I'm going on a tangent, but yes.
No, but it makes sense. So And that brings me to this. So, and I'll ask this one. So, what has, so I'm struggling. I wouldn't say I don't believe, but you clearly had access to some of the literature you had access to is some of the amazing literature at a really young age.
Yeah.
And some of them, a lot of us is when you get older, you have access to them. So did you have like a mentor or someone who kind of helped you or kind of you were around who you saw was having access to these things and you took it and ran with it or something? Or was it just all you?
I didn't have mentors till much later. Like I think when I graduated university, but I think like I was a library, you know, like you can be a school librarian. I was a school librarian. I did chess club on Tuesday. Like, I went to a state school for secondary school and I got a scholarship to a private school. But like a lot of these things, we all have library cards. Like I spend Saturdays after the gym going to the library and picking a book that inspires me. Like we all have a lot of things that we have access to. We even have the phones and, okay, not everyone has phones. We have, you know, public libraries and get the internet. We can access these things. So we want to say that some things are outside of us, and I will take that everyone does have the same access, but there's so much that we have. Like I went to school and had a library and I volunteered to help the librarian and become a school librarian and hang out with her and read books and hang out with other like-minded people who wanted to do this too. Like that's something that we had access to. Like,
and again,
it's a choice that we get to make. I just decided that's what I wanted to do. And maybe it was useful because I was autistic and I hadn't fully learned how to mask and be a little bit more normal. So I was bullied quite a lot. And it gave me that gave me a drive to find a space where I could be. So thank you very much for all the beliefs, because then I found the space to be. And that's when I learned to read all the books. That's when I expanded my vocabulary so I could always, you know, be able to cope with different circumstances where people use different words and different languages. So I could join this group, be that group. You just expand your mind. And these are opportunities that we can all sometimes choose to have. We can make these opportunities. Yeah. So we just have to make that choice as well.
Yeah,
yeah. It's about a choice and accountability in being an individual in a system. Like the system has lots of challenges and we're all interdependent in that way. But even you as a whole integer person, whatever, in this flesh sack, in this experience that you're having, you get to choose what you're having, like showing up, the energy, the choice you make, what you read, what you do, what you don't do. Like, so there's that as well. And I never want to take personal accountability out of it. I like to stress it quite a lot because it's important too.
Yeah. And if I jump in and sort of go to the podcast, I think what you're saying is, this life of fulfillment and richness and being unleashed, push the brand again, is a choice. You have to choose to live this life, and which is to you, living life on purpose. You've got to choose. So I guess for the listeners as well, it is, you get to choose the life you have. You get to choose the life you want. You get to be accountable for your own life. And that's where the magic of that word responsibility comes. You are responsible for your own life. And the quicker you take responsibility and accountability, I think Earl Nightingale always says, you are the sum total of every decision you've made in your life. And I think largely to extent, what he's trying to say is that every decision you've made has brought you to this point you are. And that has been a choice most of the time. It's been a choice, or at least your response is a choice. So I think that's amazing. So quick question. You've achieved a lot. So everyone's probably looking at you going, what can she not do? On the real biggest challenge or any sort of things you look back and go, okay, I didn't succeed at that. I didn't succeed at that. And I learned from that.
Of course. Like, I think that's the key thing that people forget. I do so many things, and these are just the things that maybe are on my website or are in some bio you've read somewhere. I've done so many things, and even for the, you know, the things in one arena I've done, if I've done 10 things, there's like, that you know of, there's 100 things I've done, and some of them I've absolutely flopped at. But that's like the nature of like throwing your hat in the ring and trying everything. Some things aren't meant for you. Like I try and pick up a new hobby or something to do. And I picked up tango like 6 months ago and I did it. And I was like, initially I didn't like it. It was really hard, really technical. I've been dancing my whole life. I was like, this is not fun. But I think when you're learning a new habit, you really have to commit to 3 months minimum to make a decision. Because sometimes it's that resistance of learning and the process of it being hard. And then I did it 6 months in. I was like, oh, I'm actually rather good at this. I've got some great videos on my Instagram. Look at me, I'm good. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. This is actually not for me. I'm not enjoying this. So I'm now not going to do it. Like that is like the whole point of trying everything. Sometimes you're going to suck at some things. Some things you're going to learn to be quite good at and you're still not going to enjoy them. And some things you're going to find absolute affinity for. And that's like, of course, you do thousands of things. And the ones that light you up, then they become part of your story. And then maybe they're the things that you talk about. But I mean, come on. For every success, there must be like a bazillion success, unsuccesses you don't know about. But you learn from them. Did I set myself up for success? Did I do the preparation I was required? Did I, you know, get the right advice? Did I get the right mentors if I needed them? And it was really expansion of a skill set I didn't have. And, you know, it's things like that. You just learn, reflect, you make decisions. You're like, oh, that's not for me. That's for me. Oh, I need to do this to be better at this. And I do like this. And I think I could be quite good at this, but I need to, you know, do X, Y, Z to, like, you know, really grow. So yeah, of course. There's like loads of unsuccesses. So it's just like, it's life.
Fail fast. Although I do realize that even when I asked you for something you failed at, you didn't really fail. You did it. You didn't enjoy it. Then you dropped it.
I planned a bazillion charity events at university. So at university, I had jobs. I was doing a master's in civil engineering, had several jobs, you know, make money. And then I fundraising manager for a charity, volunteer on Fridays for a youth club, and also like running in beauty pageants to create a platform for my charities. So I was running charity event after charity event while having this really busy lifestyle. I think I was like sleeping 2-3 hours a night at that time. It was not great. I remember looking at my diary from that time. It was interesting to say the least. And I'd taken on one more charity event in like the last 3 months of university. And I was like, I don't know why I did that. I just thought, well, maybe I'll finish on a bang. I think it was mostly egoic. I was like, let me finish on a bang. Let's remember who I was. Ego is a bad thing. It can be a very bad thing.
It is.
I did it. And I just couldn't set myself a success. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the energy to show up with the right energy sometimes. I showed up exhausted. And to do that, if I'm going to let people volunteer and I'm going to lead them from the front, they need to be energized. They need to believe in my vision. And sometimes I was like, oh, I don't believe in this vision today. I'm exhausted. And you can't. You can't galvanize people to believe in a cause and to do what you need to make anything in life successful, be it a charity event and getting businesses and local people to support you, to running a campaign to be elected, or is it to, I don't know, be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company? You don't do those things without me to galvanize people, and you cannot galvanize people if you don't meet your minimum needs. At that point, I didn't meet any of my minimum needs. I didn't sleep, I didn't eat. I wasn't looking after myself in any healthy way. I was like doing. And I think sometimes we think we can be successful by constantly doing. But if you can't be and you can't be super healthy and your presence isn't healthy and isn't enjoyable, then you're not going to meet success. And when I look back, I knew I hadn't set myself up for that experience to be super successful. And it wasn't. It wasn't my best event. It was a flop event. And that's fine because I knew I didn't set myself up for success.
Yeah.
I'd overexhausted myself and I tried to. I know what I was trying to prove. I'd done it before. I've been successful. I didn't have to keep proving something. And that's the other thing, is knowing where to stop and knowing when to not do any more. And that's the lesson I learned there. You have to always set yourself for success. Make sure that your minimum needs as a human being are met. Are you sleeping? Are you eating? Can you actually function? You know, and you don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to do everything. You have to make sure that you can be like healthy and fun to be around. And in the way that you are fun to be around, whatever version of life you show, like I'm this and you might be quiet and reticent and it's different, but you've got to know that you do what you need to do to be what you want to be and show up with that energy or personality or persona or whatever it is that you choose to be. But you can't do that if you don't meet those needs. And that's why I failed on all those things. And therefore, my event wasn't a success. And I know exactly X, Y, Z that didn't work. And I learned from it. And I don't do that any longer. Yeah. So yeah, we will have failures. It's just not a big deal. And I think I'm just not that bothered by it because I'm going to keep doing a bazillion things. And I'm going to be less attached to them because I'm doing a bazillion things. And I'm trying hard at different things and trying new things. And I know that failure does not define who I am. The same way success does not define who I am. The process, my habits, they're who I am.
Yeah.
You know, who I am isn't because you're perceiving me as a successful. Who I am is because I exist as an entity being who I am, regardless of your perception of me. And I think people forget that. They get so riled up and what do I look like? No one cares. What are people thinking? Are you successful? You're only as good as your last success. Like no one cares as much as you think they do. And you are made up of your habits, who you are daily, every endeavor. That's it. The outcome you don't control. even when you set yourself up for success in every single way, you set yourself up for success by planning, by everything you possibly do for whatever it is you're undertaking, yeah, that endeavor, and it fails. Because sometimes it does. The things that you cannot control, it still doesn't define you. You cannot be defined by the externalities and things that are out of your reach. That's setting yourself up for failure in the most profound way. And that's the biggest failure of all.
Yeah. So what you can control is you can control yourself, your and your actions, your thoughts, your mindset, and your part in the process you can control. Yeah. But the rest is sort of outside of control. And once you know you're giving your best self, you're showing up the best you can, you're then content because you know the rest.
Yeah.
So I know we've got time, run enough time. So I know. So a question I do have. So politician. It's not the thing you have on your, in addition to engineer, but I do want to pick up a position, and it is impressive. You are, because you're what they would call, you're black, you're a minority, but you've achieved this thing, which is quite a milestone. So one of the things I think, and what a lot of our audiences, some of our audiences, and most of them are, could identify with you. What did you find was the biggest challenge in achieving this? And I'm leading somewhere. What was your biggest challenge in achieving or winning your election?
Oh, gosh, this is a hard question.
Well, and the reason why I'm asking, actually, so I want to key somewhere else, is because I think what I want to get is that ability to engage confidently and getting your seat at the table. So you've got a seat at the table, and that comes from your ability to engage in dialogue. What do you find for a lot of our listeners that you could say is a tip for engaging with people from different walks of life and being able to communicate confidently and get your message across, regardless of your background? What did you find was the thing that helps with that?
Thank you for clarifying the question. Okay, so I represent a community in Reading called Caversham, and it's a massive community, and it's not massively the most diverse ward in Reading, actually, really isn't. Mm. But that's not the critical issue when it comes to connecting with people. It isn't being like them. It's being willing to see them and hear them. It isn't what you say. It's how you listen. Like, you practice some of that active listening with me. We said, what I think I've heard is, are you listening to the person when they're speaking? Do you have your own, you know, projections of what you think they are? When I go and knock on a door and I'm looking for a vote, I'm not looking to determine who they are, if they're going to vote for me or not. Not really. I want to get to know them. I actually am actively interested in people. I want to learn. And people are just as good as books when it comes to learning. What has been your experience? Where's your pain coming from? And actually, if you were to elect me, how can I help you? And if you actually care, and you care practically by listening and hearing and seeing them, without your projections, any of that other narrative that often occurs in this political sphere we live in, you can really connect with everyone. In fact, meet them as an individual, meet them where they are, and be human with them. And they'll connect with you. And even if they don't usually vote for your party, they might vote for you, because you make them feel good, and you make them feel seen. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. You know, we talk about ego and being driven to do all these things in life, and actually it all comes down to an underlying need that people want to be seen for who they are, appreciated for who they are, and met who they are. So if you can give people that, you'll connect with them, they'll share with you, and you'll be able to serve them, and then maybe they'll elect you. And so that's one element of it, to get to people's votes on the door. And then obviously it's running the campaign. Once you know their issue, actively work on it. I ran a peer poverty campaign. I work with other people. I work with the Red Box campaign. That was already an active campaign. It isn't just starting things new, which is fantastic, and I often do that. It's often galvanizing the energy that other people also got and putting your brand on it, your spin and contribution. It's working with others to make their vision achievable so that everyone gets the benefit of what they're working on.
And it's love that.
Yeah. Working with
each other. So what I got from that is it's about connecting. It's it's seeing beyond the exterior. It's connecting with people on a heart-to-heart level.
Exactly.
It's being interested in them genuinely. It's empathy. Yeah. It's seeing them. And it's when you do listen, it is acting on what they've told you. Because when you act on it, that tells them you genuinely cared.
Yes.
And they vote. So I know for you it was an election, but for us, it's whatever we're trying to achieve. To achieve whatever you want people to vote for your goals. You want people to vote for your plans. You want people to vote. You want people to vote for your PowerPoint, your presentation, and you've got to look them in the eye, connect with them, and listen, and have empathy. Meet them where they are and achieve it.
Exactly. That's so perfectly put. I love it. Okay.
I know our time's first met, and it's been amazing, amazing having you. I do want to give you one opportunity. If you had a message for the listeners, and I'd like you to leave a message around one thing that your journey has taught you, and you think we could all take away in this trying to live a life of being unleashed to living our best, what would be your message?
Okay. Imagine that you're unlimited and everything that you want to create is possible. Then act like it is.
Wow. Or get a pill like the movie Limitless.
I love that movie.
I love that movie.
One of my
I
favorite know. Movies, actually.
I know. But I love that.
I feel like we have so much in common. We could talk for hours.
I think we're just going to end up having a spin-off, and we'll just have a spin-off. Maybe we might have to. But I think thank you so much for coming. Thank you for taking time out of your amazing, busy life. It's been really good. So listen, everyone, you heard it from Aya herself. Life is about having purpose. It's about having clarity. It's about reflecting, but it's also about connecting with people. It's about having empathy, seeing them for who they are. But it's also about seeing yourself as part of a bigger system. By yourself, you are whole, but you bring someone to the table. The energy you put out has an impact on the energy you bring in. So see that in yourself. And wherever you are, seize the day. Just bloom where you're planted, or to use her words, maximize your opportunity and situation where you are. If you do these things, I guarantee you will not be far from being unleashed yourself. So with that said, go out. Done is better than perfect. Get unleashed and stay unleashed.